The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was evening on the day Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy Easter. We have at least 6 more Sundays of Easter season, so don't get tired of this greeting just yet. In our opening prayer, we address our Heavenly Father as God of everlasting mercy, everlasting, without end, never running out. In a different way, our psalm today, which is Psalm 118, says the same thing. His steadfast love endures forever. The gospel sets the scene. It is Sunday evening. The disciples were gathered all together in a room with the door locked. They are afraid of what might happen to them now that Jesus is dead and buried. They are also ashamed, devastated, deflated, and also restless. They know well that they had all abandoned Jesus in the garden when he was arrested. They had all run away. As a reader of the gospel, we don't hear about them again until after Jesus is buried in the tomb. There are only 2 exceptions among his male disciples. Peter, who followed carefully and then denied knowing Jesus 3 times when pressured. Afterwards, he collapsed in shame and ran away. We also hear of John the Apostle with the women at the foot of the cross. At this point in our reading this evening, the disciples had likely heard the news from Mary Magdalene that she had seen the Lord, but none of the apostles had yet seen him. Clearly, they would have been confused and skeptical about Mary's report. These men needed the mercy of God. They had abandoned their friend and teacher in his hour of most need and had not even seen him buried. These disciples knew this reality And they felt the weight of these past 2 days. Jesus knew all of this also. He had already risen from the dead, but he would remember the cowardice of his disciples. He would remember them disappearing. He knows well that when he went to the cross, he was surrounded by the assaults of ridicule and mistreatment. Only a very few of his loved ones were nearby at the time of his death. It seemed like his heart was broken when he called out, quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But now, at this time, he was raised from the dead. Now he was the victor over that same death. Now he was walking in the glory of new life. And now he needed to be reunited with his friends. But what friends? How could he still consider all those disciples who disappeared his friends? Would he want to see them again? The ones who abandoned him. Those who were too scared to tend to his burial. And if he wanted to see them again, why? Out of anger or frustration? To scold them for running away? No, not for these reasons. During the Last Supper, Jesus, who is always our Lord, said to his apostles, I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. We cannot forget that Jesus is divine. He is God. And at the beginning of this Sunday's Mass, we pray to God as the God of everlasting mercy. Jesus of everlasting mercy does not come in wrath or anger or vengeance. He does not break down the door and condemn those who abandoned him. What does he do instead? Jesus appeared to them, standing among them, and the first words out of his mouth were words of peace, a greeting, desiring peace for them. Jesus did not yell or accuse. He came as Savior and Victor, and at the same time, friend and teacher. He came as healer, redeemer, reconciler, and giver of new hope. Jesus began again with his disciples with mercy. He began in peace. He began with patience for them. He began this way with his closest followers and friends, even in their weaknesses and confusion. And then he begins with us now in the same way, with us who consider ourselves, by the grace of God, his friends and followers, his brothers and sisters. Even in our confusion or weakness or uncertainty or shame, even in our weakness, he comes to us with his divine mercy, as the source of mercy for us, of reconciliation and restoration and hope. He approaches us now in the same way that he approached his friends then after the resurrection, in peace, in patience, and in love. Let us allow him to be with us in this way. Let us not shrink away from our Lord. Let us not cower or hide behind locked doors or in shadows. Let us step forward as he steps forward to us, with a hand reached out in his gesture of welcome, in reassurance, and in reconciliation. Let us rely on Jesus and his everlasting mercy.